excited about the venue and all the buzz on the quality of the recent television, which I think has been excellent, and excited to talk to all of you today. So with that, Dan, let's just start taking questions, man.
That sounds great. We're going to lead things off with John Alba with the takedown on SI, followed by Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk. John?
Hey, John.
Me? Can you hear me, Tony?
John, I hear you. Hey, John, I hear you.
Okay, sorry. The delay was super bad on the mute there. Thank you guys for all taking the time today. Tony, I'm working on a feature for SI on Cope and his journey as a storyteller in wrestling. And you know, we all know his accolades as Hall of Famer. He's one of the most renowned world champions in wrestling history. But what do you believe are the strongest intangibles he brings to AEW as a performer and as a person?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, intangibles, it's tough to answer. It's tough to define, right? And I think there are so many things Adam brings to the locker room. He's such a great presence in the locker room, but that also comes with a lot of the tangible things. He's one of the greatest wrestling stars, and he's touched so many people. When we went for AEW's debut in Australia, to have Grand Slam Australia be such a fantastic show and then get fans so excited and have a moment with all the fans singing Adam's theme song, and to see how popular Cope is all over the planet, and the way it touched people to see him come and be a part of AEW Grand Slam, it was really cool. And that is a regular experience with Adam. Everywhere we go, everywhere I've gone with him, he's one of the most recognizable, famous, successful professional wrestlers of all time. And talking about the intangible things, at least to people who aren't around every day, maybe they might be hard to quantify, but being around him all the time, I know that this is one of the most positive people you're ever going to have in a locker room, one of the greatest leaders you're ever going to have in a locker room, somebody everyone wants to rally behind, get behind. And that's why we're so excited to have Adam Copeland in AEW challenging for the AEW World Championship this Sunday at Revolution. It's our first show at Crypto.com Arena. It's one of the most famous sports arenas on the planet, in one of the greatest sports cities and a hometown to me. And I'm very excited to be in Los Angeles with Cope, Adam Copeland, the Rated R Superstar, challenging Jon Moxley this weekend for the world title. And I'm really glad to have Cope in AEW for a lot of the reasons I just listed. He's just a fantastic person, a great leader, a great wrestler, a great man, a great family man. He has a fantastic family. They are great people. His wife and his daughters, every time they come, we're very happy to have them in AEW. And I think it all speaks to what a positive person Adam is in and out of the ring. Thank you, John.
Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk is up next, followed by Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Courtney? Looks like we might have lost Courtney's audio. Courtney, are you there? Go ahead and unmute yourself. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to Jason Powell, and we'll see if we can get Courtney after. Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net, you're up next.
Hi, Jason.
The Amazon deal, is Max still the future home of AEW pay-per-views, or has anything changed on that front?
No, Max is still going to be a great home to AEW pay-per-view. It's not a technology that's been a part of the Max service previously before AEW landed on this great platform, Max. And we're very excited to have AEW TV streaming on Max every week. And I can't wait to have the upcoming AEW pay-per-views there in the future. We've got all of the past AEW Revolution events streaming now on Max. And I look forward to when fans can buy the pay-per-views there. It's something we all want, and I know that they're working on developing that tech in the platform, because it's not something that Max has ever offered before. With this being one of the most important AEW pay-per-views ever, It's such a great lineup for AEW Revolution, which traditionally has always been a great show year in, year out. And it's a new home for Revolution. I just think it's going to be a fantastic show. And I'm very excited to have all of these great pay-per-view providers. We've been working with some great pay-per-view providers over the past years, and we still have great experiences working with them. And now we've added a new provider, and it's one of the largest companies in the world, and that is Amazon. We're very excited that the fans will be able to buy AEW Revolution and all of our future AEW pay-per-views on Amazon Prime. It's tremendous. And to be on one of the largest streaming services to sell our pay-per-views, that's huge. And in the future, we'll continue with a lot of great pay-per-view providers and Max. And Max will be the home for all AEW in the future. And we'll continue working with great media companies. And one thing that's been great about Warner Brothers Discovery and Max is the success they've had with collaborations. We love collaborating with Warner Brothers Discovery. It's a great company. Working with Mr. Zasloff, Channing Dungey, and Bruce Campbell and the team there at Warner Brothers Discovery, I've had great experiences, and I've found that they are great collaborators. And when you look at some of the real successes that have really paid off for Warner Brothers Discovery recently in streaming, it's a lot of great collaborations. Saw recently that the bundle with the least churn, the stickiest bundle in all of streaming, and really the stickiest package in all of streaming, is the Disney Max bundle. That's really exciting to see the companies having so much success. And that really, that package is the most successful package, including Max, in all of streaming. And that's really awesome to have Max doing so well. And collaboration is clearly key to Warner Brothers Discovery. So that's been a great collaboration. Also, Max is available in Amazon Prime. So for anybody who's ordering Revolution that way, you can also pick up a Max subscription and watch AEW TV shows on there. So there's a lot of great collaborations happening in this Amazon Prime pay-per-view collaboration. It's very exciting to us. And first and foremost, the biggest collaboration we have is the original domestic collaboration for AEW, the partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery. And Max will be a great pay-per-view home for us going forward. Absolutely. Jason, really appreciate you asking. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Jason. Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk, we're going to try and go back to you, and we'll follow that with a write-in from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break. Courtney?
Can you guys hear me?
Hey. Yes. Yeah, yes. We do hear you. Hi.
Hey, hi, Tony. I know the buzz has been about Queen of the Ring, which is happening this weekend, and one of the people starring in this is the women's champion, Toni Storm. And one of the big matches is the women's match between Toni Storm and Mariah May, which is the Hollywood ending. And ironically enough, it is a year ago that they were together at Revolution last year. And now here we are, where they had one of the most epic rivalries within AEW throughout this 6-year tender. My question for you is this, since as it's been mentioned many times, AEW has the best women's roster on this division, week in, week out, and we've seen it every day. We have not seen a women's match main event in AEW pay-per-view since the start of AEW. And is it possible, are we going to see a women's match main event, a pay-per-view in 2025 or moving forward?
It is certainly possible with all the great wrestlers we have in AEW. There's great potential for that. I think one of the best AEW events in our history was a show we just had weeks ago, Grand Slam Australia, which was a massive success for the company. One of the largest revenue shows we've ever had. It was one of the biggest live gates we've ever done, and it was a huge success on TV and streaming. And Grand Slam Australia was main evented by the rematch, Mariah May versus Timeless Toni Storm 2. It was a classic. It's a great rivalry. And I'm really excited about the Hollywood ending this Sunday. This Sunday. I wish I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I cannot wait for the Hollywood ending on Sunday. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May have really delivered in their last match. Their second match was a classic main event on a classic show. So absolutely, they're capable of doing that. and having some of the very best matches. I thought that match held an extra special place, being in Brisbane, the hometown of Timeless Toni Storm. It was really something. The connections, the symmetry, the evolution of this whole story, it really is something very special and something I'm very happy about. When Mariah May first came to AEW, Mariah May came in pretending to be somebody she was not. She pretended to be a big fan of Toni Storm and really downplayed her own credentials, which were incredibly impressive in professional wrestling. Mariah May had traveled internationally, coming from London, England, traveling to Japan, wrestling for Stardom. She had become one of the top international wrestling stars. And she came to AEW. At first, she really downplayed her own credentials as the glamour Mariah May and highlighted that she's a big fan of Toni Storm, who had also competed in Stardom and in the UK, and that she was trying to follow that career path. And it very closely mirrors a classic Hollywood film by design, one of my favorite films. I was certainly would always be happy to emulate, and that is All About Eve. And the character of Timeless Toni Storm has really evolved over time, but there are elements in the character, certainly of Margot Channing, Betty Davis's character in All About Eve, as well as Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, right down to Luther's portrayal of her ever loyal, very faithful butler. And a lot of aspects of the story are from old Hollywood. The first world title match between Toni Storm and Mariah May after Mariah's betrayal, which again was far more violent and confrontational than the betrayal in All About Eve, but it was a betrayal. And Mariah then did exactly what she was hoping to do. She took Toni Storm's place as the world champion, the top of the profession, and she did it in her own hometown, London, England. And it was on the biggest stage in AEW, Wembley Stadium. She went to AEW All In and took the title from her mentor and really took everything from Toni. And she did it all coming into AEW pretending to be something she was not. And then Timeless Toni Storm went to her hometown, setting up a rematch. And Timeless Toni Storm came back to AEW pretending to be something she is not, a rookie. And she later called it the performance of a lifetime, but she came back. She played mind games with Mariah, tried to confuse her with deception. Some of the same things Mariah did to Toni. And we've seen them play the mind games with each other. We've seen each woman rise to the top of the profession in their hometown, with Toni winning the title back from in Brisbane at Grand Slam, Australia, after Mariah took the title from her at All In London in Mariah's hometown. Now, these two great stars of the screen and the squared circle are going to have this Hollywood ending at AEW Revolution. I think it's just a fantastic match. I'm very proud of the story, and I'm very proud of both wrestlers. I think they're tremendous, and it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic match at AEW Revolution this Sunday. And their last match was just a fantastic main event on a fantastic show. And Timeless Toni Storm and the glamour Mariah May are capable of headlining any show at any time. So absolutely, we have a fantastic roster, and those are two of the great, great stars in AEW. And their last match was a great main event, and that's the level of wrestlers Toni Storm and Mariah May both are. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. I have a write-in here from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break, and he'll be followed by Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. Bill writes, "You mentioned the improved quality of Dynamite and Collision in your upfront remarks. What do you attribute this marked improvement to?"
That's a great question. I think there was 5 years ago, around the same time, on the path to the original Revolution, I made a lot of New Year's resolutions to myself, and I felt like the television in January, February, and into March, 5 years ago, around the original Revolution, was better. And some of the best television we ever did. And every week we delivered a great show. We never took the foot off the gas pedal. And I think there are many elements that make a wrestling show great. And I made a promise to myself 5 years ago, around New Year's, going into 2020, at the end of 2019, that we were going to deliver great shows every week. And really the big thing I told myself, this is no secret, I said it back then, so you can go back and look at the interviews. I told myself, if I don't like something and somebody pitches me an idea, I'm not going to be nice anymore. I'm just going to tell them, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. And I have really pushed back on a lot of stuff in recent months where a large percentage of what you're seeing is being handwritten by me. And that is the exact same thing that I did 5 years ago. And it worked really, really damn well. And I realized that's probably what I should do going into this revolution, because it worked really well for the first one. And I never meant to look back, but you know, a lot of times you try things, you get into habits, and I really like working with people. And most of AEW is about collaboration. And that's really one of the things that makes AEW stand out. And there's times where I've been too collaborative and just need to push back. And I think in this, you know, past couple months and 5 years ago at the same time, you saw that. And the product was the best shows we've done week in, week out 5 years ago. And I think we've gotten that kind of quality going again. And if you're not watching the shows, you wouldn't know. So I sometimes see people who haven't clearly watched the show talking about it. But I think the people who are watching it week in, week out right now are very, very happy with the quality of the AEW Dynamites on Wednesdays, the Collisions on Saturdays. And one thing we've consistently done from the beginning of AEW is great pay-per-view. We never got away from that. Last year was the best year on pay-per-view, I believe, show to show to show we've ever done. I don't think we've ever done more great pay-per-views or been more consistent on pay-per-view. I made a promise to myself that I would try to carry over the same level of detail and precision to the television. I said it 5 years ago I would do it, but that was when we were just doing Dynamite and it was a very different setup. Now with the importance of Dynamite and Collision, and it was really important to me to make the Collision shows great week in, week out, which I just think we're on this fantastic run of Collision shows going back. In particular, really through the Continental Classic, I thought there was so much fantastic stuff on TV in December, but a lot of the TV in December was the Continental Classic, and it was fantastic. So I really love those shows, but it's hard, especially when there was one less week than the year before. I wanted to not subtract from the Continental Classic. I wanted it to be better than the year before. I think it was even better, or at least every bit as great. And it's one of the real highlights in the history of AEW for me was how great this Continental Classic was. And being all over that, getting so into that, and realizing that our pay-per-views in 24 were just fantastic. We did a lot of great TV shows. If we could just be as consistent on TV every week as we are on pay-per-view, even though that's a really tall task, 52 weeks a year, we can do anything. And I really believe the shows have just been fantastic. And I think if we keep putting on great shows every Wednesday on Dynamite on TBS and Max, and put on great shows every Saturday for Collision, and continue what we have been doing going back a long time and all of last year, every pay-per-view last year I thought was fantastic. I would watch any of them again, and I would hold up any of them and say, this is a great show. And I think that's maybe the first year where I would hold up every pay-per-view and say every pay-per-view was just absolutely fantastic. 2021, I thought all the pay-per-views were also like that, but there were only four of them. So to maintain that quality with more pay-per-views and develop the great franchises we've added since 2021 and then have that quality maintained in 2024, I thought that was a really big deal. And now, just like we're doing more pay-per-views and we maintain that great quality, I think we can do more TV and maintain that great quality. And a lot of it is really about the right amount of collaboration, which is a lot of collaboration, but also sometimes means telling people no. I really appreciate you asking, because I think our pay-per-views last year were fantastic and we did a lot of great TV shows. And I think we can be as consistent on TV this year and have been that kind of consistency, especially the last few months. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone, you're up next, followed by Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media. Bill? Go ahead, Bill.
Tony?
Hey, doing fantastic. What a great question. That's the easiest one I got all day. Thanks for asking.
Not a problem. Hey, I got two.
Just kidding.
So I was wondering if you had anything to say about the Face of the Revolution ladder match. It's obviously not on the card this year, but is it going to appear maybe on TV next week? Is there any kind of status update you have on if it's going to return at all? Because I know you said that it was kind of like a tradition and you're pretty big on traditions. So I just wanted to see what the status of that was.
Well, we've had great traditions and there are so many great matches around the company right now. And we've had some great ladder matches. And it's really about placing matches at the right time. I don't want to do too many ladder matches or too many of the same kind of stipulation matches or become repetitive. But you will see great ladder matches in AEW. I think we've had some real classics over the years. And the Face of the Revolution ladder match, we've had some excellent matches. But it's about putting the right people in the right situations at the right times. And this year, for what is happening around the TNT title, and you see it's a lot of wrestling. And this year with what's happening, I'm really excited to have some of the best grapplers in the company competing for the title. I thought Adam Cole and Garcia were having an absolutely fantastic match last week for the title. And Daniel Garcia has had several great defenses of the title. He's also competed in some great tags and trios. And we've had a rivalry, a sportsman-like competition between Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia, where they watch each other's backs, but they also are really competing to see who's the best. They were having an absolutely fantastic TNT title match that got interrupted. They got attacked by Shane Taylor Promotions, including the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, Lee Moriarty. That is somebody I just think has done a fantastic job this past year, Lee Moriarty. I was really excited for Lee when he won the Pure Championship. He's had so many great matches with it, including a final battle with Nigel McGuinness. And he's also had success in AEW. We saw Lee Moriarty pick up that win for his team last week on Collision. And we saw Shane Taylor Promotions get involved, really ruin a TNT title match, which is very rare to see something like that in AEW, where very frequently you see decisive finishes in AEW. So that really stood out and put some heat here on the Shane Taylor Promotions individuals here. And I do think a lot of Lee Moriarty in particular and the whole group. I think the Infantry are a really rising tag team. I think Shane Taylor is a very, very talented wrestler, very talented talker, very talented leader for that group. Just a great leader for STP, Shane Taylor. And he's done great for the Infantry and he's done great for Lee Moriarty. And I'm excited for Lee Moriarty to challenge Daniel Garcia this week on Collision. And I know Adam Cole's going to be watching that very, very closely. Adam Cole's in line for a rematch for the title. Absolutely. Because of the way the last match ended in a no contest. And Adam's been doing just a fantastic, fantastic job since he's been back and teaming with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, who also been fantastic as a tag team and as a trio with Cole. So there's a lot of exciting things that have been happening around the TNT title pretty much every single week on Collision with involvement from those guys and developments. And I think Garcia and Moriarty is going to be just a great, great TNT title match on Saturday, a great grappling match. And I think they could both do great things in a ladder match. I think Adam Cole could do great things in a ladder match and a lot of the people in the scene. But we're having some great wrestling matches. Garcia and Moriarty have tremendous history. Garcia is a former Pure champion himself, and they've had a great rivalry over the years. In AEW, on the independents, they know each other really well. I think they're going to have a great match Saturday on Collision going into the Revolution pay-per-view where we've got some great, great matches already happening on the show. But we'll face the Revolution ladder match right now. It's a very interesting scene around the title, and I really like what's happening with the wrestling. And like I said, very excited for Garcia and Moriarty Saturday, and I think Adam Cole is going to be in line for a title shot himself, and there's going to be a lot of exciting people in line for that. So everything's about timing, and I think the Face of the Revolution ladder match has been a great tradition. There's no doubt about that. There's an injury attrition that's come with that match. We've lost stars for months due to injuries out of that match. So that's another thing to consider right now when the roster's, you know, coming together so strong. But that being said, we're known for having the hardest hitting matches and taking the biggest chances. So I can't hold back. I'm ready to have some of the best ladder matches in wrestling. I just thought with where we're at this year, this card is so strong. I've seen so much great buzz around Revolution, and I felt really good about what we're doing on Dynamite and Collision and Revolution right now. But thanks for asking, and I do appreciate you following up on it, because wrestling traditions are something that mean a lot to me, and especially here in AEW, the traditions we've built, you know, in what feels like a very short time still, but it's kind of amazing that it's been 6 years here we're doing this, and 5 years of Revolution. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media, you're up next, followed by Samantha Shipman with Daily DDT. Andrew?
Hey, Drew.
Andrew, you got to unmute your line. All right, we'll move on to Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT and see if we can get Andrew afterwards. So, Samantha, you're up.
Cool.
Samantha, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay, we hear you. Great.
Sorry, it was show unmuted on my end, so just making sure. I wanted to ask a question. You were actually just talking about Lee Moriarty and how he's the pure champion, and Daniel Garcia is as well. And we've obviously been hearing on and off for a while about a potential TV deal for ROH. And I wanted to know if there was, and obviously we've seen, you know, Dynamite on True TV on Friday nights as a repeat. Is that a place that we could see ROH TV? And is there still a plan to try to get ROH onto TV?
That's a great question. We've had great conversations about it domestically and internationally. And I want to make sure that when we make a deal, we make the best deal possible. So I haven't been rushing. We have so many exciting things happening here around AEW right now. You know, with just a couple months ago, we launched streaming on Max. It's only been a couple months. You know, it's just over 2 months now that the shows have been simulcast, and it's been a great success. And then just yesterday, we announced the new partnership with Amazon for this Sunday's Revolution pay-per-view and all the upcoming AEW pay-per-views. I think as we're getting all of our business lines in order and planning these new revenue streams, I do think Ring of Honor has so much potential. There are a lot of really exciting things happening around the company. I think that we had a great final battle show at Hammerstein this past year. I loved that event. And I do think there's really great things happening with some of the great young stars and some of the top veterans in Ring of Honor right now. And absolutely, Ring of Honor, we have had great conversations about that with TV partners, and I can't say for sure when and where that would happen, but it's definitely something we're interested in and have been putting time in on, which is the future of Ring of Honor's TV. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Andrew, we're going to see if you can potentially unmute again. Otherwise, we're going to go with Joe Schmidt from Collider. Andrew, you there? Yes.
All right. Perfect. Sorry
hey,
about
Drew.
That. Hey, Tony.
All good, man.
Congrats on the Amazon Prime distribution and the buzz surrounding this Sunday's Revolution live from Los Angeles. I'm really curious, Tony, how did the deal to run Crypto.com Arena come together, given that that's primarily used by another company? And what inspired you to pursue this opportunity? It's kind of uncharted waters. So congratulations.
Several things. Many things. I'm really excited about running Crypto Arena. I do think it lined up perfectly for us to be able to go to one of the most prestigious venues in the world and a place I've gone countless times to watch games myself. I'm really excited to be able to work there for the first time for AEW. It's something we really have looked forward to doing. I am a big fan of the Lakers, in particular some of the classic Showtime teams, and it was an honor to be able to do the shows at the Forum where the great Magic Johnson played and won 5 championships. and was one of the greatest athletes of all time, and certainly also one of the most popular athletes of all time here in Los Angeles and all over the world. And we've gotten to work with Shaq in AEW. He's one of my favorite athletes of all time. Shaq is a great person and a great world champion for the Lakers also. I got to see Shaq play at the Staples Center. And now at Crypto Arena, the Lakers play, some of the biggest events in the world are held there, and AEW Revolution will be at Crypto.com Arena. It's an honor and a dream come true, and I think it speaks to how much AEW has grown as a brand, that we're in the very top arenas in the world, whether it's Wembley Stadium in London, England, Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City, or now Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Some of the most prestigious and recognizable sports venues in the world have all been home to AEW, and it's our first time in this arena for AEW this Sunday, and we're very, very happy about it. And based on the great success, I hope we can come back again, because this is going to be one of our biggest shows ever this Sunday. And this arena is just fantastic. It's a dream come true. Thanks for asking, man.
Thanks, Tony. Joe Schmidt with Collider, you're up next, followed by Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy. Joe? Joe, go ahead. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. Sorry. A lot of hoops to jump through for that. Anyways, Tony, nice talking to you. I wanted to say it because ever since the Max deal went through, it feels like we're getting a lot more big matches that might normally be presented on pay-per-views. Like you kicked off with Hangman versus Orange Cassidy with a clean win between the two. You're giving us things like Ricochet and Swerve. You're giving Megan Bain huge moments over some superstars. I just wanted to ask, how has the Max deal and obviously the roster that you're now working with affected how you are booking these matches leading up to an event like Revolution?
Well, I think we've traditionally unloaded huge matches around AEW Revolution. And knowing that this was going to be a historic year for AEW, that's really what I wanted to do. And that speaks to what I was saying earlier, that I really believe this is an important chance for us. And it's important for us to deliver great shows week in, week out, now multiple times a week. And we built a great audience on Wednesdays. And now we've had great support for the show on Saturdays also with Collision. And I think we've been trying to put big matches on. It's always been important to us, and there's been a lot of huge matches, huge moments on Dynamite and Collision over the years, but absolutely with a new media rights deal, these new opportunities, the new exposure, and the new platform with Max for AEW with streaming every week, multiple times per week, it is increased incentive to deliver. And I think we've really been doing it. I appreciate you saying that, and it speaks to what I was saying earlier, that I feel like people who've been watching the shows, which are great fans, and the people, it's important for us to satisfy and please and keep coming back. Our great base have been really happy with what we've done these past few months on Max, and that means the world. And if we keep doing that, we're going to continue having this amazing base that helped get us so far, plus we'll make new fans. And that's the big opportunity with this great platform, Max, that we have in a changing media landscape, where we still have this great home on cable with Turner at channels, TBS and TNT, that are staples of the cable industry. And these channels are also staples of professional wrestling. But as the cable industry changes, then it's important for us to also maintain a position in the growing streaming world, and we have a great partner. It's very clear from the recent results that there are great things happening at Warner Brothers Discovery around the Max platform. And I'm so excited that we're a part of it, as Max is experiencing this great growth under Mr. Zasloff and Bruce Campbell. What they've built is tremendous. I remember sitting with them last summer talking about this, that I really believed AEW can add value to Max and help with the mission of the company to grow Max and build the best streamer, which is what I think Mr. Zasloff and Bruce and the whole team have been doing. And I really believe that we are an important part of it. And that's part of why there's such a big incentive for AEW, myself and the entire staff, and certainly all of the wrestlers in AEW and the fans at the shows week in, week out, and everyone who supports AEW watching on TBS, TNT, and Max. I think everybody feels incentivized right now that this is an exciting time for the company. And that I think there was great excitement yesterday announcing new opportunities. And certainly, first and foremost for us, our biggest opportunity we've gotten and our focus when it comes to the media landscape is delivering for David Zasloff and Warner Brothers Discovery, because they backed us and we owe them, and they've been great to us, and I want to do great things for them. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy is up next, followed by Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport. Amy?
Yep. Hi, Amy.
Hi. So you had mentioned earlier that this is 5 years since the first Revolution. It's also been 5 years since Hangman Page and MJF have mixed it up really in the ring together. Now, they both have been an integral part of AEW since its inception. They were both at the first All In before AEW was founded. They were both featured prominently in the inaugural Double or Nothing. And they fought for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, where MJF won it for the very first time. Now, these two men seem to be two sides of the same coin. Both could be considered main characters of AEW. Both have been burned by the fans at times, so to speak, and yet both have evolved as people in very different ways. Can you talk about Hangman Page and MJF sort of as two foundational men of AEW, their growth in character, and how this comes together at such an explosive moment at Revolution? Thank you for your time.
Yes, absolutely. I really appreciate you asking that. When we launched AEW, I knew that we had some great established stars in pro wrestling. And certainly when we launched with the big names, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, and nobody knew that Jon Moxley was going to be at Double or Nothing until he showed up. But Jon Moxley, the AEW world champion and one of the most decorated and most important wrestling stars, the first man ever to hold the AEW world title, the WWE world title, and the IWGP world title. He's a huge part of wrestling history, and his arrival really changed things at the first Double or Nothing. We had all these tremendous stars, Kenny, the Bucks, Cody, Chris, and Mox. And among all these big names, I knew we could really build AEW around these top names, but also build for the future around some young stars, our homegrown stars. And you're talking about the two. You're talking about the two that from the very beginning we identified them very clearly from the very first match in AEW's history, from the very first show in AEW's history, the original Double or Nothing almost 6 years ago. You saw Hangman Page and MJF linked in history. And it's our top homegrown hero and our top homegrown villain, our two top homegrown stars in the history of the company. They had both experienced success elsewhere, but neither of them had ever really had that national television platform, that worldwide platform that AEW has now. And as AEW launched and grew, it launched those two men on a path to stardom. And those are two of the top stars in AEW. They have been from day one, and those are stars that developed here under our roof. I'm very proud of what both MJF and Hangman Page have done in AEW. I think they're two of the greatest wrestling stars in the world, and they're two of the people that really set AEW apart from the competition and everyone else. And that's why I thought it was so important to have these two fantastic AEW stars, people that we built around from the very beginning, the two people that really we built the future around from the very beginning in this rivalry at this time. Such an important time for AEW for all the reasons we just talked about, and such an important show for AEW for many reasons we talked about business-wise, and also just where we are is an opportunity to grow for the future. Now's the time to get behind these two stars. And when they have been linked up and been really heated rivals in recent weeks, it's been some of the best television we've seen, and it really bodes well for this weekend's AEW Revolution pay-per-view on Sunday. and the future of the company to have stars like this in their prime, like MJF and Hangman Page. They've both been the world champion. They both held championships in AEW. They're both at the top of the profession. And this is a great, great match. I'm so excited about the first time the AEW championship belt came out of the bag. The first time we ever showed the championship, we planted seeds that these are two future champions. My best friend, Jack Whitehall, one of the greatest comedy stars, one of the great actors and top stand-up comedians, performers in the world. He just hosted the Brit Awards on ITV in the UK, and he just returned to Los Angeles. And I believe Jack is going to come to the pay-per-view, and things have come full circle because Jack was there with Max and Hangman. Jack was the one who handed Bret Hart the championship belt. Bret Hart took it out of the bag, unveiled that title, and to have one of the greatest wrestling legends, one of wrestling's great champions, pull that belt out of the bag and then take part in that segment with MJF and Hangman Page on our very first show, we really set the stage. This is going to be an important rivalry in our future. These are going to be future world champions. These will be the tent poles of the company 5 years from now. All of that has happened. All of that is happening. And this is going to be a huge match, MJF versus Hangman Page, this Sunday at AEW Revolution in Los Angeles. Thank you for asking.
Thanks so much, Tony. Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport, you are up next, followed by Dave Meltzer with The Wrestling Observer.
Tony, you able to hear me?
Yeah, I am. Hey.
Hey, good to speak with you again. Congratulations on the AEW Prime or the Amazon Prime deal, and the pay-per-view looks stacked like a great card. You kind of referenced this a little bit earlier on and talking about how you learned to kind of collaborate with people, but also make your own decisions when it comes to the booking and aspect of all that stuff. There was some talk about production meetings and you potentially not having them backstage and stuff like that. I was curious if you just provide a little bit of clarity on how that situation operations works behind the scenes when it comes to potentially something akin to a production meeting or what you guys, how you utilize it.
Yeah, I meet with everybody involved several times a day in a couple different groups, in a few different working groups. And I've got all of the commentators. I've got the top production people led by Mike Mansuri and his group and coaches. And I'll meet with them individually and in groups. I'll get the production people and the commentators together. I'll get with the individual coaches. The coaches will also meet with the production people and we'll go over things throughout the day. And like all processes in life, I think we're constantly looking at this. And when you depend on people, there's got to be good communication between people. And it's one of those things that I'm constantly looking at and I want to do better with always and with everything. It's like, and like, I do think it's a great process for us. And we've had great shows recently. And, you know, I'm very proud of the shows we've been putting on. And I think we have a great staff of people. And, That's kind of how we do it. So I'll generally come in with an outline for what I'm looking for. We know who our top stars, our top rivalries are, where we're going. We know big matches, big moments, and I've got a lot of ideas. And I'll get with a group of coaches, a group of producers and production people and the announcers. And then we'll all come together. And it's possible that I'll meet with several of the groups as individual groups, and then they'll meet with each other, and then I'll get with them generally one-on-one. And then I'll get, before showtime, all the announcers and production people together. It's you know, it's something I think has worked for us, and we've put on really, really good television. And I believe have had the most consistent shows week in, week out. So that's kind of where we're going. I do think in all wrestling companies and really in all sports companies, you get reports and anonymous reports and things like that. But in this case, I thought some of the things I read were completely untrue, which is why then you saw people backtracking from the things they said pretty quick or putting out a totally different version of what they said or saying, oh, what I said, this is what I meant. And you get that a lot. And it's just part of sports. And, you know, when I was first breaking in 10, 12 years ago, I used to think about that stuff a lot more. But right now I'm just focused on trying to do shows and eliminate those kinds of distractions. And you know, when it comes to meeting with everybody and brainstorming, we do a lot of that throughout the day. And that's really what the whole day is about, is meetings. So, I found some of that, discourse to be amusing, especially in the midst of the great quality, but I guess consider the source, right? Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald. Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Dave, you got to unmute your line.
We got to unmute Dave, Dan.
Had it for a second.
More time.
Okay.
I think him and I are hitting at the same time.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Got you, Dave.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Tony, I was just wondering, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about some of the guys that had been under contract. And I was wondering, you know, like, I'm talking about Starks and Black and Phoenix and Miro. And is it a change of philosophy for you as far as releasing guys under those circumstances, or is this like an individual case-by-case basis as far as the decisions on those particular four guys?
It's a good question, Dave. It's a fair question. And I think some of it's in line with what I've been talking about. You know, I do think, to your point, it is a case-by-case basis. I think everything is really a case-by-case basis. So much of life is a case-by-case basis. But I do think, philosophically, you're right. It was a change from what I've been doing. But it just felt like the right thing for the company and everyone involved at this point. And that's the thinking behind that. But like I said, it's on a case-by-case basis. And they're all different situations. But in this case, those did have similar outcomes. So it's fair to ask and ask why now and why wouldn't have done that before. And, you know, I just decided that's what I thought was the right thing to do at this point. But it's definitely fair to ask, but that's really all there was to it. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Tony. Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald, you're up next, followed by Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes. Jim?
With this, I'm interested. Ricochet has really come on since he's been with you guys, and Ring of Honor, and then WWE, he did his thing, but he's really getting to elevate himself with AEW. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit. He's got the big match with Swerve coming up, number one contender, and talk about his evolution during AEW. I know it's not been a long time, but just confidence level for him coming in and now confidence level for him now. Thank you.
Well, it's a great question. He's a very different Ricochet on AEW television than when we first encountered Ricochet and when I first saw Ricochet many years ago. It's incredible what this evolution for Ricochet has been. He's become one of the most despised people in AEW, and I absolutely believe he had it in him. And it is very different than what we've seen from Ricochet, but I do believe this is the real Ricochet. He's, you know, when I met him, frankly, I saw some of this, and I think there's a villain in there, and he's really unleashed that villain to the world. He's a super villain. He's just a bad person, and Swerve was absolutely right about this guy. Swerve saw it. He said, "I know the real Ricochet." He's known him longer than I had, but I saw what he was talking about, and really throughout the Continental Classic. That's one of the things that evolved. One of the developments in AEW that we saw throughout the Continental Classic was Ricochet doing underhanded things. His connection with the crowd changed as the tournament went on. And I knew going in, if Ricochet is going to be in these matches at Hammerstein Ballroom in the final weekend of the Gold League, and you're going to have Ricochet wrestling against Will Ospreay and Darby Allin on Christmas week at Hammerstein Ballroom, I knew he was going to get booed out of the building in both matches, and I really wanted to build around it and make it really good. And I knew what we were going for, and I knew what I wanted to do with him, and he has hit absolute home runs. In all sports, as a coach or an executive, all you can do is try to put athletes in a position to succeed, and that's what I tried to do here. And this athlete is an amazing, amazing athlete. He's one of the greatest athletes in the world, Ricochet. And this guy went out, and he hit home run after home run, and that's why he's in the position he's in. And you see that in sports. There are people you sign, you think they're going to perform very well. You try to put them in a position to succeed with a strategy that's going to help the team and utilize the player to the best of their abilities. And that's what's been happening with Ricochet in AEW. The guy is fantastic. He is a tremendous villain. He's embraced the very darkest parts of his personality, and he's become an indispensable part of AEW's shows. And I'm very happy for Ricochet and his family and everyone close to him that he's really been able to tap into this. And it's been great for AEW. It's been great for me. So I'm very happy about it too. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. We have time for just two more questions. So next up is Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes, and he'll be followed by Joey Hayden with the Dallas Morning News. Alex?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. So the Amazon deal, congratulations on that. It's obviously expanded to international markets like the UK and Canada. Do you foresee in the future with the Amazon deal in the UK, do you see like Dynamite, Collision or Ring of Honor TV added as part of the deal via like the AEW Plus integration? Or do you think it will just be the pay-per-views on Amazon and Dynamites, etc. on Triller? Thank you.
I'm not sure yet. It's a great question. I think the most important relationship for us that we've had in the UK and have in the UK has been for a long time this great collaboration with ITV. I'm very proud of that. It's one of my original wrestling media relationships. They've been a great partner, and there's a lot of opportunities in the market, but I would be remiss not to highlight what's been happening around AEW and our partnership with ITV. And some statistics, which are kind of amazing in this day and age, with so many great things to watch, so many things out there. The fan base we built in the UK, we set the world record, as many of you know, for pro wrestling ticket sales with 81,035 tickets sold. I find it very amusing, and a lot of you, frankly, are witnesses to this, I would say. Some even may be a party to it. But I found the PR discourse when third parties tried to put it out there that allegedly, and we did sell 81,035 tickets. I have all the documentation, and I got the plaque from Live Nation in my office, the whole thing. And it's the world record for wrestling ticket sales, and people tried to downplay it. I saw people trying to say, oh, no, there were only 73,000 people there. And then if another wrestling company did 73,000, it would be painted as a huge, huge success. It is not lost on me what goes on out there. And it's amazing the success we've been able to have. We, AEW, set the world record for pro wrestling ticket sales at Wembley Stadium with 81,035 tickets sold. Recently, what we've seen just in the past few months is the biggest audience for AEW on UK television ever. We've been on ITV now for over 5 years on Dynamite and a couple years now for AEW Collision as well this summer. And the ratings are at an all-time high in the UK right now. AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision on ITV4 are both up over 50% year over year, both shows. Dynamite's up over 50%. It's at a five-year high, and Collision's at the all-time high, also up 50% year over year. That speaks to the great success we're having in the UK, where we've already had, truthfully, the greatest successes in the history of the promotion. So there are a lot of opportunities there, and something that's important to me is to maintain the great relationship we have with ITV because we've been really successful collaborators, and that's a big thing for us. And we're very loyal to the people who helped us get to this point. We never would have gotten here without Warner Brothers Discovery, without the support we've had. There's been changes in the leadership, and when David Zaslav came in 2022, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to AEW. He's been the biggest supporter. He was behind AEW Collision. He's been behind this extension. He was the one who took a chance on us coming to AEW streaming on Max, which was really what made our big media rights deal possible. And it's been a great thing for us. And Warner Brothers Discovery is our first and foremost focus always. But certainly also in the UK, it's been a great, great, great relationship with ITV, and I'm very loyal to them. And I think it's really paying off on both sides now. The trust, the faith, the collaboration, the friendship, the fellowship, all the things we've shared over the years, and all the great wrestling matches and shows we've done together. And I'm very proud of what's happening for us in the UK right now. So as relationships develop and change, we'll always keep priority for that. But absolutely, we're excited that Revolution this Sunday will be available in all those great territories you mentioned on Amazon Prime and all of these other great pay-per-view providers we're working with. It's a tremendous opportunity for us. Thank you for asking about that and giving me this great platform just these last few minutes to talk about the success we've had in the UK historically and recently. I really appreciate it. And I would be remiss going into Revolution if I didn't talk about that and the great support we've had going into this pay-per-view from our UK fans. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. We have time for just one more with Joey Hayden from the Dallas Morning News. Joey, go ahead.
Hey, we do.
Cool. All right. Like the rest of us, when it comes down to it, you're a wrestling fan, so I'm sure you're aware that John Cena recently turned heel. Unlike the rest of us, you own your own wrestling company and you book your own shows. And it just so happens that AEW, a week later, has a huge pay-per-view in Los Angeles. I'm curious, in these moments, is there any sort of added pressure possibly to maybe take a big swing creatively that maybe you wouldn't normally do? I'm curious as to kind of your mindset and your thoughts and how you handle these types of moments.
That's a great question. I think we're really very happy with the shows right now. I think the quality of the show has been tremendous, and we helped build a lot of excitement around the original Revolution by just doing great shows week in, week, and that worked so well for us. And I think if we do that here, it will pay off for us and keep putting on the great shows. And we do take big swings and do exciting things on the shows, and we have big developments, big matches, big moments. And I want to keep doing that, but I don't want to change anything we're doing just because another wrestling promotion has changed what they're doing. And I think it's important to keep an eye on what's happening all around the world of wrestling. And there are exciting things happening all over the sport. And one of the most exciting things, and the thing I'm focused on most excited for, is this Sunday, AEW Revolution pay-per-view. It's been a great run of AEW shows going into Revolution, as I was saying, and I think that's going to serve us very well going into this pay-per-view, if that makes sense. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
I'm very excited for the show, as I've said many times, and I really appreciate everybody who joined us today for this all-media call. There were a lot of great questions. I think they were all really great questions. I appreciate everybody being so focused primarily on the pay-per-view itself. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing a lot of you there at Crypto.com Arena. I tried to answer as many questions as I could today. And if I didn't get to your question, hopefully I'll be able to see you at an upcoming show or even ideally Revolution this Sunday. Or if I don't, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody on here, whether you got to ask a question or not. I hope you got something out of this, and certainly I've gotten a lot of benefit from collaborating with so many of you over the years. AEW, this is 5 years since the original Revolution, over 6 years since we announced the formation of AEW. Certainly we would not be at this exciting place we are and have accomplished all the things we've done without all of you covering pro wrestling, covering AEW, and giving us that platform and the opportunity to talk about what we're doing and the coverage for the show. So thank you all for being here. God bless you all, and hopefully see a lot of you this Sunday at Revolution. And I'll try to answer as many questions as I can in person. Danny, great job on this. As always, you did a great job as the moderator, and thank you.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. And thanks everybody who joined us today. We're now at the end of our time. We'll be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly, and we thank you again for being a part of today's call. look forward for you to joining us this Sunday for AEW Revolution in Los Angeles at Crypto.com Arena. Have a great day.